Mark Finley says that a day is coming when we won't have to be astronauts in order to explore our galaxy or any other. Your narrator is Calvin Follett. On April 17, 2012, the Space Shuttle Discovery bolted atop the National Aeronautics and Space Administration 747 aircraft soared over the nation's capital in a salute before landing at the Dulles International Airport outside Washington, D.C. Thousands of people lined the National Mall to catch a glimpse of the famed spacecraft as it headed for the airport and its final resting place in the Smithsonian Institute. It's difficult to imagine that Discovery traveled a total of 148,221,675 miles on 39 space missions. This is the equivalent of 311 round trips to the moon. What an incredible accomplishment. No wonder why so many people wanted one lingering glance at America's most beloved spacecraft. There's something fascinating about space travel. It captures our imagination. It stimulates our thinking. It fuels our dreams for a better tomorrow. Maybe, just maybe, there are answers to our deepest questions out there beyond the stars. Some private companies are already advertising trips into space and booking seats on rocket ships. A March 24, 2006 Associated Press article on space travel made this intriguing observation. If floating weightless and peering down on a Earth shimmering blue sounds appealing, you might consider being a space tourist, as long as you've got a fat wallet. There is, however, another space journey. It's open to more than just a few astronauts. It's a journey each of us can take, and it will bring us face to face with destiny. What's more, we won't have to build a warp-speed spacecraft in order to take this trip. We'll travel beyond the stars, beyond the planets, and through Orion's open space to the heart of the universe. But it begins with someone's return. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the one who paid such a remarkable visit to this planet 2,000 years ago, is going to pay us another visit. And he's going to make quite an entrance the next time he comes. He won't be coming as a babe in Bethlehem's manger, but as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Revelation 19, verse 16. And the heavens will rumble with a great shout as trumpets blast and angels sing out. Imagine that Jesus and the heavenly host swoop down in a cloud of glory and circle the earth faster than any spaceship. The ground shakes, lightning flashes, mountains tumble into the sea, graves split open, and those who have died in Jesus rise up from their graves in the cold ground, alive and transformed, now having glorious immortal bodies. Believers who are still alive at Christ's coming join the resurrected ones, and everyone rises up in the air, drawn to the glorious light of Jesus' presence. A number of years ago, a NASA official made this statement: "In the next 10 to 20 years, we're going to find potential habitable planets within 100 light years from us." Most scientists don't expect to find a cuddly creature like ET anytime soon. They're looking for one-celled organisms that can survive harsh environments. And nevertheless, human beings are curious about life out there among the stars. We can't help wanting to make contact somehow. Who knows what we might find? Who knows what intelligent being might start talking to us? I have some good news about life out there among the stars. We're going to find it. I have good news about signs of intelligence in the universe. Intelligent beings are going to start finding us in a very big way. We're going to hear the voice of our Creator echoing around our planet. We're going to hear the voices of angelic beings rumbling across the sky like thunder. We're going to have a cosmic rendezvous. That's the great event that Jesus told us is coming. He himself said, "I will come back and take you to be with me," John 14:3. It's more mind-boggling than the Hubble Space Telescope sighting a new galaxy or scientists discovering some single-celled organism on a distant planet. We're going to come face-to-face with the greatest intelligence in the universe. His countenance is going to shine down on this world like the sun at high noon. The sign of the Son of God is going to appear. His glory is going to fill the sky, and all those who have committed their lives to Jesus are going to journey with him beyond the stars, through the galaxies, to heaven. When we human beings think about space travel, about journeying from one galaxy to the next, the huge distances are overwhelming. How do you reach a star thousands of light years away? Scientists today can't conceive of traveling faster than the speed of light. So real space travel faces huge obstacles. But Jesus' second coming is going to remove all those obstacles. The one who created all those stars and calls each one by name, this God, can transport us through the universe as fast as he wants to. Distances won't matter. Black holes won't matter. Even the speed of light won't be a barrier. It's God who beckons us home, and that's all that matters. We'll all arrive safely at our destination, and we'll arrive together. We'll all stand together on the sea of glass around the throne of God and sing our hearts out in exultation. Now that's the ultimate space journey. What might surprise you is that our journey to eternity won't be a one-way trip. The Bible says it will make a return journey to earth. King David stated this in one of his Psalms, "The meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace," Psalm 37:11. However, the earth we'll return to won't be like the one we live on today. It will be a better place. Sickness, suffering, heartache, and death will be gone forever. Disease and disaster will disappear. Chaos and calamity will be finished. Think of what it will be like to descend from heaven with Jesus, his angels, and all the rest of the heavenly hosts to a magnificent earth made new in the glory of Eden. God will burn this world clean of sin and suffering. Then, he'll remove the scars. He'll replace the ugliness. He'll recreate the earth. And a whole new city, the New Jerusalem, will settle down on our planet. It will be our home on earth. God will live here with us. And from that eternal city, we will colonize this renewed planet. The transparent gold that paves the New Jerusalem's streets won't wear out. Its gates made of enormous pearls won't fall off their hinges. The sapphires and emeralds in the city's foundations won't crumble away. The citizens of the New Jerusalem will be refreshed forever by the river of life that flows through that city. They will be forever renewed by the tree of life in that city, which bears 12 kinds of fruit. This is the picture of the new earth that Revelation gives us. And this picture assures us that we are going to find a forever home of peace and of blessing. God himself will be our God. He will light up the city with his everlasting glory. We will live in the warmth of his love and the joy of his presence through the ceaseless ages of eternity. I want to make that ultimate journey with God. I want to take that great space odyssey. There's got to be more to space travel than mining minerals on the moon. There's got to be more to it than poking around on asteroids. There's got to be more than finding renewable energy resources. We need a bigger answer for the longing in our hearts. We need the glory of the Son of Righteousness. Jesus assured us that he's coming soon. Revelation 22, verse 7. He's going to make a spectacular appearance the second time he comes. One day, we'll be swept up into the air and into his arms. One day we'll journey to heaven in that angelic craft of light. One day we'll journey back through space in a golden city. One day we'll live with God on the earth made new. So be ready. So look up. So reach out to the one who is preparing a place for you in his Father's house. Sidebar: how the Bible describes Jesus' return. The Apostle Paul is one of many Bible writers who, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, described what will happen to us when Jesus returns for the second time. He wrote, "We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever." That's from 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 14, 16, and 17. Jesus is going to make a very big entrance the second time he comes. Here's how he described it. As lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky, with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from the end of the heavens to the other. Matthew 24, verses 27, 30, and 31.